Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and some of you may be interested in my Wednesday night television show where web video meets the issues. Tonight's videos include an expose of how Uganda's proposed anti-gay law could include the death penalty just for knowing gay people and not reporting them to the authorities. That's tonight at 7:30 on CUNY TV, Channel 75, on the New York City cable systems. So what makes good design? I'm not just talking about design that looks good and performs a function well, or even industry darling green design, but design that serves the loftier goal to fundamentally improve lives. That's the mission of Design NYC. That's the name, Design NYC, a project that's connecting nonprofits and community groups with pro bono, high-end professional design services. They just launched their first 12 projects all over the city. Joining me now are three guests, Michelle Mullineaux, the acting director of Design NYC and marketing director at ESI Design, Robin Key, principal at Robin Key Landscape Architects, and Abby Jo Siegel, vice president and New York director of Enterprise Community Partners, a nonprofit affordable housing developer. What a diverse group. Welcome all three of you to WNYC.
Thank you.
And Michelle Mullineaux, what's the mission of Design NYC? Give us the basics.
Just as you said, Design NYC is really trying to improve life in New York by connecting these wonderful communities. We really saw that there was a great passion in the design community for design for the public good, but there wasn't a real outlet for that. And with the economic downturn, there was tremendous need in the nonprofit and in the city sector. And so how could we create a service network that would enable these two communities to come together and make a difference and improve life of New Yorkers?
And we'll talk in a couple of minutes about a few of the projects in a bit more depth. But maybe give me a good example of some of the collaborations that you have going around. Going on around the city.
Sure. There are groups that are working on a number of issues, from affordable housing, like Enterprise Community Partners, some that are working at the intersection of local food projects, human health, sustainable development. One of the projects that we're doing is for the Bed-Stuy Farm Share, who's really trying to introduce local produce to a community that's underserved and might not be used to eating those kinds of foods. So how do you kind of create some great design materials that communicate the desire to eat locally, be healthy, and reduce these health risk factors that exist within that community in terms of high rates of diabetes, heart disease? That's one example of a great project.
That's a great example. And Robin Key, you're a landscape architect. You're partnering with Abby Jo Siegel, who's sitting next to you, and her Enterprise Community Partners on a project at Servium Gardens, a senior housing development in the Bronx. What's the project and what are the larger goals of the collaboration?
Well, the project involves a large affordable housing project for seniors with grounds around the project that right now are just completely a pile of dirt. And we are going to be developing gardens for the residents of the housing, and we're working with the residents to develop the program so that our design will serve their needs and their interests. Another very interesting aspect to this project is that it's on the campus of all girls Catholic school, and we're trying to work with that school in order to develop programs where the students in the school and the elderly residents can do projects together.
Great goals. Sounds like a good intergenerational collaboration. So how do you design with that in mind? Give me some examples of specific design elements.
Well, our first goal is to sit down with the residents and hear from them what they want, how they would use the space, how we can make the space safe and interesting to them. So we have sat down with the residents. Right now, there's only a third of the units occupied, so we had the great opportunity to meet with real residents and hear how they want to use the space. So that was very helpful to us as designers. We're interested in doing practicing sustainable design. We'd like to create spaces that allow the residents to have a lot of social opportunities and also give them opportunities for gardening and exercise.
And listeners, as we talk to our three guests from Design NYC, what are some examples for you of good design and bad design in the city? Design that fosters open social interaction or bad social interaction? Give us a call with an example, positive or negative. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Maybe come with an informational interview and they'll steal your designs. No, I'm kidding. That was the last segment. Or post a comment at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. But seriously, some examples of good design and bad design in the city, design that fosters open social interaction or discourages it, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, if anything comes to mind. And Abby Jo Siegel, high-end design, slick marketing campaigns, these things don't usually make it into lean nonprofit budgets. So do you think that's a mistake? I mean, as a nonprofit manager, is there a benefit to good design, and what's the danger of not paying enough attention to messaging and physical design elements?
Thank you. We really think design matters, particularly when it comes to community development and affordable housing. It really matters to the people who live in the homes we build and the partners who build them with us, and it really matters to the communities. We feel it really helps build trust, important social and emotional bonds, connects to the community, and helps build pride. And we find that the people and families who live in our homes, good design shows that we care about them and that we really care about their success in life. So we work very hard throughout all of our projects, working with all of our partners around the city and around the country to ensure that there's good design from small projects to big projects in every neighborhood here and there.
So to go back to this center in the Bronx that you're working on with Robin, obviously community gardens are darlings of the sustainable food movement and the green design movement. But did you go into this process thinking that you wanted a garden there, or did it come organically, pardon the pun, from the collaborative process?
So we're working on actually three projects with Design NYC with our local partners, who are the community affordable housing developers. And I think the folks who run these organizations each had an overall vision of what should be done. So in the case of the Servium project, they needed a garden. It made sense. But how would that garden be used? Who would own that garden? Making sure the residents really, really went out and didn't just spend all their time sort of sitting in front of the building, but actually were involved in the garden, really spoke to the importance of not just good design, but the design process and incorporating the people who are going to use it in the process. The other two projects, very different. One is for people, for survivors of domestic violence, for their kids. So really creating space, an inside safe place for the kids to play, that really spoke to them. The other one is in a project for about 100 residents who are mentally ill, and really connecting them to the public space and to each other, and really building the bonds amongst themselves as a community, as well as sort of giving the strength to sort of go out into the community.
All right. Example of bad design in New York City, Lorraine in Port Washington. Lorraine, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I'd like to discuss Penn Station. Penn Station is an example of horrible design because it's so crowded. That's why it's there. It's a train station for commuters, yet there's no flow. So everyone is constantly banging into each other, and it creates this feeling of anger. And everyone runs around during rush hour or holiday time, pushing into each other, angry. And it's really, really horrible place to be.
And I guess you take the LIRR out there to Port Washington,
well,
where you live?
I'm from the city, and I had to move to Long Island for a job, uh-huh. And then I got laid off. So now I take the train,
there you go.
And it's a horrible, horrible experience.
Let's see. Little Neck, Great Neck, Manhasset, Plan Dome, and Port Washington. Did I get it right?
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Lorraine, thank you for your call. Michelle, Penn Station, everybody loves to hate it. They can't quite find the money to renovate it the way they want to as the new Moynihan Station.
Absolutely, and there's a Starbucks in Penn Station right now that shows some of the old Penn Station, and you hearken back to those days of those glorious spaces, and it makes us want to preserve great design when we have great design. And let's hope that the next version of Penn Station is a beautiful one that causes people to interact and engage and has new forms of community rather ways of angering and creating derision amongst writers.
Nick in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nick.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't about specific design, but I've noticed that in a lot of apartment complexes and you know, things like Stuytown or Parkchester, and that usually when they design these large apartment complexes, they always do them separate from commercial areas, and so it's like it's always residential here, and then there's a commercial. One of the things that's so great about New York City is the blend of the two, of commercial and residential buildings together. And one of the things that I don't like about housing projects is that it's because it's only people living there and there's no other businesses. So maybe when they design these larger housing projects, if they were to incorporate commercial spaces mm-hmm. in with...
Right. It's a fabulous comment. And... Abby, Joe, and Robin, you're both involved in the design we were talking about before with a housing space. So what do you think about what Nick is saying?
I think he's right on. I think it's a really important point. I think it's also a lot that we've learned since those projects were developed. A lot of the work that we do now will have mixed use. So they'll have commercial on the first couple floors. Additionally, they'll also have community space, may have schools. We have a great project in the Bronx that has an early ed center that's done all green. So you have 120 kids running around at any one time. And it just adds a lot to the life of the building and the neighborhood.
Do you think about this, Robin, as a landscape designer, real quick? And what's in it for you? You're volunteering.
Well, as far as the earlier question, we're trying to organize our gardens and our spaces so that we are relating to the environment around the housing complex that we're on. We think it's really important to create views and relationships between the garden and the neighboring streets and communities. So we are thinking along those lines. There are no commercial spaces within this housing development, mm-hmm. but we're trying to reach out.
And Michelle, on the really big picture here, do you see Design NYC as part of a national or even international movement toward using design to change the world? Do you know the new book by Warren Berger called Glimmer? How design can transform your life and maybe even the world. There's a project similar to yours called Project H Design in California. Fashion designers are getting into it. The Gap Red campaign and the Kenneth Cole AIDS awareness campaign. Tom's Shoes, a favorite among hipsters, donate shoes to needy kids around the world. Do you see a movement?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Project H is a wonderful example. Architecture for Humanity, the public architecture group. Here in New York, there's the Design for the Public Trust. Design can be used to help solve these major issues, sustainable development, climate change, creating a more equitable and social kind of environment. And more designers are getting into this field and are creating an impact in this field. Design NYC is a wonderful part of that movement. We were just trying to create something that was very local and that was very multidisciplinary.
And your Design NYC is not funded by the city, but there seems to be some convergence. I'm thinking about the NYC Condom Design Contest, where designers submitted their designs for the official New York City condom, and people can vote on their favorite one. Do you see more attention being paid by the city to good design?
Absolutely. One of our clients actually for Design NYC is the New York City Housing Authority. They are right now championing a major greening of the public housing. But how do you involve the visitors in that? What is their role? So they're actually creating a green guide, and we're having a really wonderful design group called the Rooster Design Group help them create the visuals and the storytelling around how to live a green lifestyle in New York.
You got a last word, Abby Jo?
That's very exciting to hear. I'd love to use that green guide for all of our buildings. I think that's one of the big challenges in design is making sure that the property and the people who live there are actually using it to its best sense.
Abby Jo Siegel, Vice President and New York Director of Enterprise Community Partners, Robin Key, Principal at Robin Key Landscape Architects, and Michelle Mullineau, the Acting Director of Design NYC and Marketing Director at ESI Design. Great conversation, good projects. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, Paige Cowart, and Alan Smith produced this program. We had intern help today from Sydney Beveridge. And our senior producer is Megan Ryan. That's Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. I'm Brian Lehrer.